They're doing a little preparation of the stage, so don't get too nervous or anything. We've got some cool stuff coming up here in just a little bit to help us illustrate what's going on in service today. We are in our Far From Average series. We're getting close to the conclusion of that series. Actually, next week, we will conclude our Far From Average series. That'll be the last of this series. And then the following week, let's just watch Pastor Jerry. He's mesmerizing. Look at him. It's like I can just talk all I want, but they're just awesome. Good job, guys. Give him a hand. Thanks. Yeah. That's good. I think we're good. Awesome. So next week we have our last of the Far From Average series. Is anybody really sad to see the Olympics go? Anybody? You're like, oh, man, I love watching those people swim or jump around or fall off the diving boards into the water or whatever. Yeah, okay, maybe that's your thing. I like running. I like fast running because I can't. It's just amazing to me how they can do that. So, wow, look at all this room. I can just move around up here. How about that? It's kind of, whoa, watch out. Okay. We're doing that. And then also the week after that, the first Sunday of September, we have a missionary coming from the Marshall Islands. He's going to be with us that week. And so that's going to be exciting to hear what God's doing through their ministry there. It's a ministry we've supported for quite some time here at Central. So we'll hear from them. And then in September, I'm excited about this because we're digging into a new series beginning September 11th when our life groups start. And we're going to be diving into the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke. And we're going to start preaching through that book. And I don't even have it charted out exactly how that's going to take us. I'm just going to open the book of Luke. We're going to start studying and preparing messages. And God's going to guide us through that book as we study it together. It's a cool way to do that. And so we're going to be, it's called expository preaching, where we just take the text and we just work through what God says in the Word there instead of telling him what we want to say, right? Instead of saying, here's what the Bible says about this, let's just let the Bible speak for itself. So that's what we'll do with the Gospel of Luke. That'll be awesome. That'll begin in September, so you can get ready for that. If you want to read ahead, you can do that as well. But today we're getting started on today's message about Gideon. And Gideon is our hero for the day, our above average, our far from average story. And his story is found in the book of Judges. This is a very difficult time, a tumultuous time in Israel's history, because in the book of Judges, they had no king, right? This is between Joshua's leadership of Israel and before the king was appointed. And so they just had, the key phrase that you see, we'll talk about that in a second, but there's a key phrase that talks about everyone just kind of did what they wanted to in the book of Judges. And so we see what's called a cycle of apostasy. You guys ever heard that phrase? The cycle of apostasy? Cool. Our kids in Kids Church have heard that because that was something they covered not too long ago. But what the cycle of apostasy is they would have wonderful victories mixed in with horrible times in Israel's history in this period of time. And here's how it would work. Things would be good, right? Because God blessed them, and things are good. So, woo, they'd party, they'd have a great time. And then they would forget about God. They'd be like, hey, life's good. Let's party. Let's do this. Hey, let's try this. Hey, let's do that. Hey, let's go there. And they would basically forget all about God, and they would start doing things that dishonored and displeased God. And so what that did is that things would go bad because they'd forgotten all about God. And so things would get really ugly for a while, whether it was the Philistines would come in and take control of them. In our story today, the Midianites came in and they would take all their crops and all their stuff and they would enslave and imprison the Israelites. It was just, things would go awful for generations at a time, okay? And then when things went bad, guess what they'd do? It's right there, you can see it. They'd cry out to God, oh, God, why is things so awful? Well, it's because they did the wrong thing, right? Anyway, so they were just kind of getting their consequences. So they would freak out, and they would call out on God, and they would say, God, we need you to help us. God, where are you? What has happened here? And guess what God would do in his goodness and his love and his mercy? God would save the day. God would show up, and he would save them. And so when God saved them, guess what happened? Things got good. And round and round and round they go through the book of Judges. Over and over and over. In fact, by the story of Gideon in the sixth chapter of Judges, they've already done this like four times through. Between when Joshua died to when Gideon showed up, they'd already, Things were good. They got away from God. Things went awful. They cried out to God. God saved them, and things were good. And then they'd forget God, and things would go bad, and just round and round they would go. It's a sad state. How many of you guys have watched them? No, none of us in here, because we're all better and more spiritual people than that. But how many of you guys have ever seen this in somebody else's life? Okay, we'll just blame it on somebody else, right? In somebody else's situation, they did this. I surely haven't done this. But anyway, that's sarcasm in case you didn't catch it. Okay, so yeah, God would raise up a leader, a judge for them, who would lead a turnaround and turn them back to God. And the final verse in the book of Judges sums it up perfectly. And here's what it says in Judges 21:25. It says, "In those days, Israel had no king. Everyone did as he saw fit." Wow. That'd be a little bit crazy, wouldn't it? If every American didn't have any authority in their life, they just did whatever they thought seemed right. Nobody else is freaked out by that idea? Chick is right. It'd be a little bit crazy, I'm afraid. I just think I should do this, so I'll do it. Yeah, that's kind of what they did. There was no Moses or Joshua to lead them, and this was before the kingship was put in place. And so it's kind of like anything goes chaos. Just mass chaos. They would just do whatever came to them. They would raise up a leader, and they'd serve God until that leader died, and then they'd run amok again. This happened generationally. So think about the spans of years that happened. A leader would raise up and lead them until he died, and then there'd be 40 years of peace, or then there'd be 50 years of peace, or whatever the case may be. They would have things right for a while, and then the next generation, it would turn around, and it would go south, and then it'd have to do this whole turnaround again. Difficult stuff. Now, this is where we find Gideon and what I call the unsuspecting mighty warrior in Judges chapter 6. The angel of the Lord shows up and turns a new page in Gideon's life. For those of you who like Bible study, the angel of the Lord is a phrase that the theologians have kind of settled on the fact that it wasn't just an angel from God, but it was God showing up in the moment, what they call a theophany. Where God shows up in physical form, and he shows up amongst people. So this wasn't just a angel sent from God. This was God says, I'm going to go down and step in here. Sometimes they call them Christophanies, where like Jesus took on human form of God. That's just a side note. It's kind of cool to think about. God would just show up and speak to little old Gideon. And I call him little old Gideon because that's how he saw himself. That's what Gideon thought about himself, and we'll see that in just a little bit. But God showed up. The angel of the Lord shows up and turns a new page in his life. And you know what he finds Gideon doing? He finds him hiding. Now, do you usually find the phrase mighty warrior and hiding talking about the same dude at the same time? Generally not. We assume very different than that, right? But God shows up in physical form. God, who knows all and sees all, looks at Gideon, who's hiding, and says, God is with you, mighty warrior. Let's look at verse 11. Go to verse 11 there, Jimmy, I believe you got that. The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak at Ophrah, and that belonged to Joash the Abizrite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a wine press. Odd, right? Yeah, threshing wheat in a wine press to keep it from the Midianites. Because if they had wheat and they were out just doing this like they normally would, the Midianites who ruled them would say, hey, give us the food, you guys don't deserve any, and they would beat them down and take their stuff. And so Gideon is hiding under a tree in a wine press, threshing wheat so that it doesn't get taken from him. Like the ultimate victim ever, right? Like the one who's been bullied so many times that he's figured out ways to hide from the bullies and figured out how to get around this situation. And so he's hiding in this under this tree in this wine press, threshing wheat so that they can have some food to eat, and keeping this secret as secret as he can, so that he doesn't get caught and the stuff get taken from him. So that's Gideon's mindset right there. And then the Lord speaks this to him in verse 12. The Lord says, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." As you're hiding, he probably looked around. This is what I would have done. You're talking to me? Like, me, really? Do you not see where we are here? Do you not see what I'm doing? Have you not seen around us? And that's what he says as you look at the text there. He's a victim's mindset, and he doesn't see himself the way God is seeing his situation. He doesn't see himself the way God sees him. And there's a lesson that we'll all go to in just a moment. Are we good? But first, we have some unsuspecting mighty warriors among us today, and I wanted to introduce them to you. These warriors live and move among us. Some of them regularly attend our church. You might not know this about them. That's why I thought this was kind of fun. I don't just like to fill the service up with different things. There's reasons behind them, just typically. But some of these mighty warriors go and attend this church while also competing and winning national tournaments. Their teacher, who's with us today, their teacher has set world records that have yet to be matched. That's kind of cool, huh? Yeah, that's pretty cool. I was like, wow. And they're here to show us what mighty warriors might look like in our situation today. So if you would, help me welcome Grandmaster Zhang and the Korea America Taekwondo from Olathe, Kansas. Let's give them a big hand.
I'm socked in here tighter than a frog dog's butt in a watermelon seed fight.
Thank you.
You want to get in there? I'll get your picture. Pick up your lumber. If you need any wood split, just talk to Grandmaster Zhang. They'll get some wood split for you. Now, thank you guys so much. Let's give them one more hand as they're making their way to a seat. We are so glad you're here with us today. I'm pretty sure I pulled a muscle watching that. So, I don't know about you. Wow. Incredible stuff, man. So I just want to say a quick thank you to Grandmaster Zhang and Korea American Taekwondo. We appreciate you coming and being with us today. Thank you for your time and your investment and all the students and families that are back here. Thank you, families, for coming and being a part of things today. Let's give them a hand. And before they get too far, I've got to thank Troy and Joel McBride. Troy and Joel McBride, you guys throw your wave at us in there. Can they stick their heads back out? Or did they already go? They're gone. They're ninjas. They're gone. Okay. All right. But Troy and Joel McBride, they were our connection there, as well as through Stacy and Lene. Thank you, Stacy, for working with us on that. We appreciate you helping us get them together. I thought it was pretty awesome that these mighty warriors are right amongst us. You might not have known that board-splitting, karate-kicking, or taekwondo-kicking kids are part of our church, but that family's here and they're a part of things. So these kids are far from average, wouldn't you say? Right? And you know what? Each of you are as well. You're like, well, I don't split boards. Well, no, I don't either. Thank the Lord I don't have to do that. But God has something that's far from average for each one of us to be accomplishing. That is the heartbeat of this series. That is the heartbeat of this message, to recognize that God has a story that he's wanting each of us to live out. These young students are being trained in skills fit for the label of mighty warrior, but Gideon was not. He was in hiding, and he saw himself as average. He might have even considered himself a victim. That's what Gideon saw when he looked in the mirror. But my first point today is just for us to realize that the way God sees us has very little to do with how we see ourselves. You can read that on the screen behind me so I don't have to say it again, but okay, I'll go ahead and say it again. The way God sees us has very little to do with how we see ourselves. My perception is limited to my experience, my feelings, my emotions, all the different things that only I have seen and the way my life has gone. But God has a bigger picture. God knows the rest of my story before I live it out, right? And so God has an understanding that I don't have. He sees us in a way that has very little to do with how we limit our own view. Gideon went on to make excuses and explain how little he thought of himself in the next few verses of Judges chapter 6. In verse 13, he said, if God is with us, he's talking to the angel of the Lord, he says, if God is with us, then why has all this bad stuff happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our fathers keep talking about? In verse 15, he says, how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in a weak tribe, and I'm the least in my own family. He's just piling up the excuses, right? He's like, my group is the least in the least family, and I'm the least of the least of the least. It's what he thinks of himself. And God walks in and says, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. God knows the truth about our situation and not just our opinion. He didn't see and know what God had in store, and many times we don't either. Most of us in this room could share stories of how God's done things that we would have never seen coming, right? He's worked stuff out that we would have never put in place. We couldn't have arranged it on our own, but God worked those things out. That's our experience. That's our story. Gideon had no idea that he would lead the destruction of the Midianites with 300 men, torch, pots, and trumpets. That doesn't sound like a much of a battle plan, does it? But that's how that worked out. That'd be ridiculous. You might even be sitting here today thinking, I just don't see how God could use me. That seems ridiculous. I'm not like so-and-so. I don't have these abilities. I can't do this or that. I'm not good at that. Nobody cares about my story. Maybe that's what you're feeling today, but God wants you to realize how you see yourself is nice. That's cool and all, but it's nothing compared to what he sees in you. And how he sees you is what really matters. The second point I want to make today is that the steps God gives us will pave the way. Notice that God didn't say, hey, Gideon, I want you to round up 300 trumpet players and give them torches and go kill the Midianites. Because that wouldn't work, right? There's no way that 300 guys with torches in a little pot and a trumpet, no weapons, right, could take down this massive Midian army that had joined together in the valley here. The Bible says that they couldn't even count their camels as more. They could count the sand on the seashore. That's a lot of dudes, right? That's a lot of people. And so they got this massive army and 300 guys with trumpets. This is a trumpet. Okay. And pots with a torch in it. Give me a sword, dude, right? Give me something. No. This is the way God worked that out. And the way it happened is that God didn't just start out there. God didn't just tell him the end of the story. God gave him the steps that would lead him along the way. It's very key in our lives, isn't it? If God would tell me the end of my story, I'd be like, wow, how in the world am I going to get to there? And I'd try to push to that. But God gives us the steps that we need that just simply pave the way in the process of our life is how he's leading us. And the next thing you know, much like last week when we talked about Joseph, Joseph was stepping along the way, following what God had ordained in his life and doing what he could in those moments. And God positioned him exactly where he needed to be. The steps God gives us will pave the way. It began with simple steps. Gideon took steps of testing and confirmation along the way. He said, God, if it's really you, wait here for a little bit. And God did. He said, God, if it's really you, make the dew go crazy. Make it dew only on this thing that I put on the ground and not anywhere else. And then make it dew everywhere else, but not on this thing. He like testing God over and over, and God gives him exactly what he needs when he needs it. God speaks to us different ways, doesn't he? Now, I'm not big on trying to put God to the test, but Gideon was like, if you want me to do this, I got to know it's you. And so he spoke openly with God, and God met him where he was. God knows what you need when you need it, right? God is aware. He is able. God also gave him steps to take. He said, okay, Gideon, I've done this. Now I need you to tear down your father's idol worship. Tear down that Asherah pole, this big wooden thing. Cut that thing down into an altar and make a sacrifice to me on that altar to make a big political statement in your neighborhood. And that one was kind of funny because he did so in Judges chapter 6, verse 27. He tore down that worship, that idol worship pole, and he did all that, but he did it at night so no one would see him. Isn't that funny? Mighty warrior. Again, he's hiding, right? He's still doing things his way, but he's trying to follow God, but he's still trying to figure out how to do them his way, and God's working him along the process. So he didn't do it in broad daylight so people would see who did it. He did it at night while everybody was sleeping, and they woke up and went, who did that? And then they had to figure it out that it was him. So he's working through this process. God's spirit leads him to sound a war cry to summon the warriors of Israel, and that's what happens. And they show up, 32,000 of them, show up. This insignificant least of the least of the least blew the call to battle, and 32,000 men showed up to battle with him. That's pretty cool, right? But God says, hey, guess what? That's too many. Many of you know this story. Many of you might not. Find it in the book of Judges, chapter 6 and following. It's a great illustration of what God can do through somebody who doesn't expect God to do anything through them. Because that's what we need to recognize, is we underestimate what God can do through us and our story. So God calls him to do that, and he says, that's too many warriors. 32,000 show up for battle, and God trims it down a couple of ways, all the way down to 300 men against this thousands upon thousands upon thousands, uncountable number of Midianites. And he gets it down to 300 guys. But God already told him, go in the strength you have. I am sending you. God told him, hey, Gideon, sneak into the enemy's army and go down there at night and watch and just listen to what I'm doing. And he snuck down there. Those of you who know the story, follow along. And those of you who don't, I'll break a little of this down for you. He goes into the enemy's camp, sneaks in at night, and he overhears one of the soldiers had a dream. And the dream was that a roll of bread, a barley loaf, came rolling into their camp and knocked over one of the tents. And one of the other guys, who's never met Gideon, somehow says, oh, that must be what Gideon is going to come and do, and he's going to destroy us all because God's given him victory over us. And Gideon's hiding in the bushes, still hiding, right? He's hiding behind the tent going, did you just hear that? Like that, God gave him exactly what he needed when he needed it, right? Gave him that confirmation. So Gideon goes up. He gets an idea. He goes up and tells the guys, hey, here's what we're going to do. We're going to bust the pots, sound the trumpets and say, for the Lord and for Gideon. And then they're all going to start killing themselves and wiping themselves out. And that's what they did. God went to battle for him. The enemy was defeated because God showed up in that situation and he worked through Gideon's life and story. Everything that Gideon needed, God paved the way in those steps for him. All God needed was willing obedience. Isn't that what he needs from us? His simple willing obedience? For us to just hear the steps, to see the steps that God has put out for us, and to follow those steps. And when we take those steps, God blesses, and things turn out the right direction. It doesn't always go exactly my way, right? It's not always exactly what I want. But God orders our steps into the best life possible. Hopefully you heard me say that a few times because that's what the gospel brings. It brings the best life possible in my life. Without the gospel of Jesus Christ, without following God, I cannot have that best possible. I'm settling for way less than what God has for me. And so much like when Molly was tiny, she was a little one. Get used to this, Molly. Every once in a while I tell stories. Sorry. This is Molly's first Sunday up here with us because she's in, and Mia as well, graduated. Wow. But Molly used to like to jump off stuff to me. Anybody's kids ever like to do that? She liked to find a thing and just fling herself off of it because Dad would catch her, right? Sometimes I knew she was coming. Most of the time. The terrifying ones were when I found out halfway, she's coming, right? But all she had to do is just jump because she knew God, Dad would catch her, right? It's simple faith and obedience, right? She just sometimes early on it'd be like, okay, jump, and she'd be like, no, I'm scared. Like, go ahead, I got you. Go. And she'd just flail herself out there and I'd catch her. And she's like, and we both have the time of our lives because I felt amazing and so did she, right? And we're missing out that's basically what God's doing. He's given us simple steps to take. He's saying, I've got you. Just, and you're like, this doesn't make sense. I can't fly. And he's like, I can. Don't worry about it. He's just challenging us to take simple steps of obedience, and he will pave the way. I don't have to have every answer. I just have to know that I'm being obedient to him. And he'll pave the way. He'll make it happen. It's pretty cool stuff. So Molly would throw herself, and I would catch her. And most of the time, I caught her. Okay, anyway. If we jump, he will catch us. Obey the steps as God paves the way. That's key for us to get. And the last thought today, point number three, is simply this. The choice God gives us is ours to make. The choice, the way we see ourselves is not necessarily how God sees us. We get that, right? The steps that God gives us pave the way for us to follow him and to accomplish something amazing. And simply, the choice is ours to make. He gives us that choice. Isn't that nice of him? I mean, it's way too nice of him because too many times we don't make the right choice. We could make the right choice, but we mess it up and we go sideways. We do something else. We figure out, well, hey, I think I could try it like this. And God's like, just do what I've asked you to do and you'll get the hopes and dreams that you've desired and longed for. Trust in me, and you'll receive the desires of your heart. That's what he's trying to explain. Gideon seized the chance to write an incredible story for God. He seized the moment. Many others did not. I wonder how many times in the book of Judges, in those 40 years of this nation ruling them or 40 years of that nation ruling them, that God challenged a man or a woman to step up, and they said, I can't do that. And so the nation remained imprisoned because someone wasn't stepping up to be the man that God called them to be or the woman that God called them to be. That's not a guilt trip. That's a, wow, I don't want that to happen. I don't want us to be out of God's plan any longer than we have to be. I don't want things to go wrong any more than they ever had to. Judges is filled with gaps as big as 80 years of people failing to follow God. The choice is ours, freely given to all of us. The Word of God says in Romans that we have all sinned, and the result of that sin is spiritual and physical death. It also says that Christ paid our penalty, and we can have life through Jesus Christ by confessing Him as our Savior and our Lord. So with every head bowed, every eye closed, I just want to give you a chance to respond to this message today. Because Gideon was called a mighty warrior. He didn't see himself that way. He wasn't living the life of a victorious mighty warrior. He was a victim stuck by a bunch of circumstances pretty well out of his control. But God gave him a choice. And that choice is ours today. That choice is yours today. If you'd like to begin a new day, just like Gideon, when God greeted him and said, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. I want to challenge you today. The Lord is with you, mighty warrior. God is with you. He's here in this place. He's in your story. He's a part of your situation. He just needs you to choose Him to unleash what He can do in your story. If you leave Him out of it, you just get what you can do. If you put Him in your story, you get what He can do. So if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, you're like, Pastor Steve, I don't know God. I'm far away from Him. Maybe you knew God a long time ago, and it's time to come home. It's time to give your life to Jesus once again and start over. Maybe you're here and you've never heard any of this stuff. You just know that life isn't what, there's something inside of you that's just crying out, there's got to be more. There's got to be more than this daily grind, than this trouble in relationships and issues and bills and just the rat race. There's got to be more. And I'm telling you this morning, there is. There's life through Jesus Christ. If you're here today and you'd like to give your life to Jesus, you'd like forgiveness of your sins, and begin a new walk with Him today. If you're here today, would you just raise your hand, make eye contact with me so I can pray with you? We'll pray with you after service. Anybody here? Pastor Steve, that's me. I got to start this over today, right now. This is my time. This is my moment. God's speaking, and I'm going to answer today. Anyone here? If you'd look up at me real quick, we're going to give the rest of us a chance to respond. Perhaps you already know Jesus Christ, but that even higher gives us a higher qualification for this message today, because I want us to have a chance to respond. First of all, about our identity. We have to get God's perspective of who we are. You and I both have to own the God's perspective of who we are. Not just what we think about ourselves, not the dirt that we know on ourselves, right? I mean, it's been said that we all see ourselves one way, and what we see like on Facebook and social media, all you're seeing is everybody else's highlight reel, right? You're just seeing the stuff they choose to post. You're not seeing all the stuff that you sense and feel all the time, so don't bother to post that stuff. It doesn't make them look good. But the truth of the matter is that how you see yourself is not, that's not ultimately true. Does that sound weird? It's not ultimately the truth, because God knows the truth about your situation. You only know the bits and pieces that you've seen so far. You don't see what God's doing behind the scenes. You don't see what God has in store for you down the road. You only know in part, but He knows the real deal. He knows the full story. And that's why He can look at a hiding least of the least of the least, Gideon, and know that he's going to lead his nation to victory because he's a mighty warrior, because God can work through even him. If God can even work through him, he might even work through me. He might even work through you. Amen? So this morning, our identity is critical. Our feelings can be very real and very valid, but God's view of us is what's true. If he calls you a mighty warrior, he is right. If he says you are loved, he is right. If he says you're not something, then you're not that. We have to listen to the voice of the Lord today and get our identity from him. Amen? The media and the world around you will tell you you're not smart enough, you're not good enough, you're not pretty enough. That's the enemy trying to wear you and tear you down. That's hopelessness of this world saying, there's not enough, or I can't pay this, I can't afford that, I can't manage this. What am I going to do? Hope and despair and agony. That is what the enemy brings. But God brings life. God brings hope. God brings deliverance. That's what God does. And you and I have to identify with that. If we stay like Gideon and say, you know what, I'm just a loser from nowhere and you can't use me, then we cut off what God can accomplish. But if we say, God, I'll do what you say, then he can use us and we can do great, far from average things that our story will witness for the Lord. Secondly, obedience. Our willingness is key to our story. As God guides, we must follow. As God's word speaks, we have to listen. Not even have to. We get to listen. We've got to turn this have to mentality over and realize it's our privilege. It's our honor. It's our blessing. It's favor of God that we have a chance at this thing, that he's opened the door for us to have a relationship with him. As God corrects or challenges or shows us the way, we've got to follow. Is it always going to be easy? Is God going to make a way where there seems to be no way? Absolutely he will. He will be faithful. He will follow through. We just have to be obedient. We just have to take the steps that he puts in front of us. So as we apply this to ourselves this morning, Jimmy's going to play a little bit of something in the background just to kill the weird silence in the air conditioners. But as we close up, I just want us to spend a couple of moments. You don't have to come to the front unless you want to. If you want to, you can absolutely respond that way. But I want you to spend a moment considering your identity. Are you believing your story? Or are you believing the Lord's story about you? Which one are you identifying with? We've got to make sure it's his story. And it's not just what I think and feel in the moment. Our identity is a key thing. And then our obedience. Is God challenging you? Is God speaking something about your life that you need to respond to? And maybe you haven't taken action yet. He's saying, go here, and you're like, I don't know about that. He's saying, stop this, and you're like, but I really like this. He's speaking. Are you being obedient? Let's just spend a couple moments in prayer and just seek the Lord that way, and then we'll close out together.